Welcome to Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
It's all good. You can take a seat. Thanks, guys. The Lord is good. Amen. Who's ready to have fun in the Lord? Me too. The best time is preaching in the Lord and just getting lost in Him. Can I do that tonight? Yes. Can we have some fun tonight? I love what Pastor Dave just said about, hey, let's, like, you actually have permission. Holy Spirit has permission to do whatever He wants to do tonight. So, like, in your seat, if you feel the presence of God and you feel to stand up, you have permission to do that. It's what He said. If you want to run around, if the presence of God, the fire of God comes upon you, you have permission to do whatever the Holy Spirit is telling you to do. If you want to pray for your friend while I'm preaching, it's okay. I give you permission. If you just want to just get lost and close your eyes and even have a nap, you can have a nap if you want to have a nap. Just pray that the Lord speaks to you in that time. And it's a glorious nap. I just want to thank Pastor Raph and all the exec team for entrusting us with the pulpit this morning, this evening, tonight. I love you guys. You guys are family. And it's just been such an honor. If you don't know me, I've been here for like the past 12 months, and it's been an absolute honor and privilege to work alongside giants in the faith, to mothers and fathers, people that love us, have championed us. And it's actually a huge honor to be here. So thank you, Jesus. May it be a glorious night. Let's just pray before we get into the word or the ministry or whatever happens. Lord, I just thank you. I thank you for your goodness, and I thank you for your faithfulness. And God, I thank you that you want to meet with your people tonight. Lord, let it be about you. Let it be about a meeting place. Let it be a dwelling place tonight. Let us be aware and overcome with your presence. Lord, let the fire of God burn in people tonight. God, I'm asking, Lord, for encounters, even in their seats. I'm asking, God, for angels to come around the room and release gifts and distribute ministering spirits to those that will inherit salvation, even around this place in Jesus' name. God, would you increase the water levels of Pneuma Church? In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Before I begin, I want to just pray over some people. The lady next to Willow. Yeah, you. What's your name? Piper. Do you want to stand for me? I'm going to just get Abby. I've asked Abby Solomon just to be like a walking, like, encounter tonight. Just a walking encounter. And she's just going to come lay hands on you. As I was looking over in worship and I saw you, I saw you with like these clippers, like going behind an electric fence. But it was a really good thing. I felt like there's such an adventure to you in the Lord, and there's such a joyfulness and a playfulness in the things of God. And I saw you bringing people along what appeared to be behind enemy lines. But it's actually a God assignment on your life. I really believe that you're actually called to break the religious spirit off people's lives. And you're called to bring freedom and an anointing on God to actually release freedom into people's lives. And as you do so, I also saw you being like a tool to unlock people's sleep, to be able to sleep well. Psalm 4:8 says, the righteous dwell in safety. He makes the righteous dwell in safety. And I see an anointing on you. I saw this dump truck of pillows just coming, this plethora and abundance of pillows. And I just saw you distributing these pillows. And there is an anointing on your life for good sleep that you're going to bring peace to people as you take them on the journey. So God, go Abby, do what you do. So Lord, we just bless Piper. God, we thank you for the anointing of God that's on her life. We thank you, God, for a willingness to go where you've called her to go and to be who you've called her to be. Let tonight be an unlocking night for her. Lord, let tonight be a night of encounter, of breakthrough. And Lord, I thank you for sleep and an abundance of sleep, and that there would even be dreams in the night for Piper, God, and dreams in the night of those that she leads and those that she disciples. God, there'll be God encounters. And where there's been fears and terrors in the night, may they be broken in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for your peace. Thank you, Jesus. Where's Destiny? He's still backstage. Come on, mate. Come grab a seat. I don't know if he can hear me, but that's all right. I'm just going to, when he comes, I'll give him a word. He's good. I just hear people say, destiny, destiny. Destiny. Can you come take a seat with your fam for a second? I don't know what you're doing back there. I hope you're listening, buddy. Yeah, I just saw, as I was looking at you guys tonight, I just saw you like with a dumbbell in your hand, both of you. It's actually for both of you, for Keely and for Destiny. I saw you with a dumbbell in your hand and you're both exercising the weight. And then all of a sudden I saw the Lord add to the weight and the weight become unified and you're both lifting this weight together. And I just want to encourage you that in this season of waiting, that the Lord is adding a weight to you. He's adding a weight of anointing, a weight of authority to both of you. And I really believe that even in the waiting, it's not just for you, it's for your whole family. But in this season of what's felt like waiting, the Lord is adding weight to you. So Lord, I thank you, God, for the increased anointing of your presence, of your weight of authority that's on this family. And not just for these two, for the mother-in-law, for the mom, for the sister, God, for all of them. Lord, that the waiting, the things that they've been praying for, the things that they've been believing for, the waiting season, God, let a weight be added to them in Jesus' name. Lord, let your presence come, let your fire come, let your presence confirm the word. And Lord, I pray for an increase in Jesus' name. I thank you that nothing is wasted with you, God. You're not just wandering a dry desert land. You are called to a move of God. You are called to release the rivers of God. And you're called, and even in family, you'll see it in family. You'll see it first in family. You'll see trickles of the river. And you'll know it's time for the rivers of God to flood this land. So Lord, let this be a quickening in the spirit. Lord, let there not be a delay. Let there be a quickening in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. I also, I've been giving intimate hugs, like just close hugs, and my ear has been like locking to people's cheeks. And I'm like, what the heck? It's never happened before in my life. I just noticed in the last 48 hours, I'm giving you my process, by the way, my process into taking risk and stepping out in faith. Is that cool? Sometimes it can like look really mystical and like, whoa, this guy, I just think things, and then I go for it in faith. It's like, but I remember my ear got stuck and it was like a suction cap on someone's cheek. I'm like, that's weird. It happened like 5 times in the last 24 hours. That's super weird. So if anyone has like deafness or like clogging in the ears, especially the right ear, I want you just to take a stand up right now. Anyone got deafness in their right ear or clogging in the ear? It might not even have been a permanent thing. It might have even just been awesome. All right, we need people to go and pray for these guys. So if you're around them, you can lay hands on them. We just were at a conference and we saw heaps of people's ears get unplugged and open and deafness go. And we believe God is going to do it tonight. So why don't you just begin to pray and declare, ears open in Jesus' name. Yes, Lord. Don't be too tame over there, Lawrence. Don't be too tame, buddy. Yes, Lord. Yes, God. If you can testify to a shift, this, I think someone over here, I heard some clapping, which is awesome. Can you testify to something? What happened? I've got the mic and I'm asking you. Come on, yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Anyone else? Can anyone else testify to a change in their ears? Everyone check it out. I don't know, maybe someone speak into their ear just to see if there's like a shift or... I don't mind. Yes, come on. Sarah, talk to us. Wow. Come up here, Sarah. I love your shoes. She's lighting up the world with her shoes and with Jesus. Jesus.
Wow. Well, I've had this problem since I was a child. When I was born with my ears, and that I have a hole in my right ear and had severe infections. But just after people prayed for me, it just feels like completely different.
Oh, wow.
It's so hard to describe. It's sort of like pulling like a plug of wax out of the ear, and it feels so different. So yeah, I'm gonna go to the doctors and just get them to look and say, yeah.
Come on.
I've had several operations for it and they still haven't been able to fix it, but yeah, I know God's gonna do something.
Yes, Lord. All right, you can go take a seat. And where's Abby? Where's Dynamite Abby? Go. Dynamite Abby is gonna blast you. Don't worry, I'm going to get to the word. I do have a word to bring. It's okay, guys. Just... Thank you, Jesus. All right. Let's get into it, eh? Without further ado. Oh, God's good. I'm going to talk to you tonight about the Lord's faithfulness. I really can't sum up the Lord's faithfulness. It's the topic that is never ending. It's a topic that you just jump in and you can only give a glimpse. And I'm not expecting in this next 25, 30 minutes, I'm not expecting to go so deep that you've got all the understanding of His faithfulness. But I do want to share about His faithfulness, because there is a difference between knowing a concept and knowing it experientially. And I remember my journey, if you don't know me, I was born and raised in Sydney. And then the Lord called my wife and I, Nikki is my wife over here, beautiful Nikki, love you so much. Called my wife and daughter over to America to pursue the things of God and to pursue the Lord. And then the Lord has called us here over this last 12 months, and it's been a beautiful time. But when I was first in America, I was on an online like prophetic Zoom meeting, and I was like the guinea pig of this meeting where I just got to receive, and it was amazing. And I remember being in an Airbnb, getting to school like 6 weeks late and just getting thrown into it in like an Airbnb. And there I was on this Zoom call. And as they were prophesying over me, I was overwhelmed with the presence of God. I was overwhelmed with the presence of God, and I was just weeping as I encountered the Lord and encountered His comfort and His peace and these words that were like just so accurate to my heart. And it was a beautiful thing. And I remember jumping off the Zoom meeting, and in my lounge room, I remember going, "Oh God, You're here. You're in this place." And I remember just closing it down and just laying on my floor in my lounge room and just said, "God, like, what do You want to speak to me?" And I remember that someone said, if you ever speak somewhere, it's good to have a life message and to know your life message. And I was like, "Lord, I never really thought about that before. So Lord, what's my life message?" And I heard the Holy Spirit say that my faithfulness will be your life's message. And I'm like, "Oh, thank You, Jesus," because I didn't really want a narrow topic, because I get really bored easily in church. And so I really wanted something that can take different directions and can pull apart different scriptures. And so I was like, "Oh, that's a good one. That's never ending. It's going to continually unfold and it's going to be awesome." And so tonight I'm going to talk about the faithfulness of God and living a life of faith. Is that cool?
Yeah.
When the Spirit pours Himself out, He often brings up a theological highlight. In other words, a perspective of Himself that's often neglected or in a time frame really needed. It's essential in a time frame. I think back to Toronto Blessing in 1994, and I think about the Father's heart that came out of that movement and this revelation of the Father is like Jesus. Wow. And we sometimes have this perspective where God's just an angry God in the cloud, and we can relate to Jesus, but we can't relate to the Father. And in that movement came a theological highlight that God is a loving and a caring Father. And so along with the encounters and along with the refreshing and along with all that, there was a fresh revelation. Not a new revelation, a fresh revelation. Hear that correctly. It's not a new revelation. It's not something that has been lost. It's just something that God wants to highlight about His character and about His nature. And then I think of Bethel Church that experienced a move from the outpouring of Toronto. They carried something and God began to pour out His Spirit in Redding, California. And I think about the theological highlight. There's probably many things I could speak about that movement, but one thing is the goodness of God. It was that they had this unwavering reality that God is good. That all the time, God is good. Not just sometimes, He's good all the time. And I really believe that in this outpouring, in this fresh wave of the Spirit that's about to hit Australia and about to hit the earth, it's not just for Australia, it's for nations. I really believe that the faithfulness of God is going to be exemplified. And I believe that it's going to be merged in. It's really tied into the goodness of God. It's not something new. But I believe it's going to be essential for a generation that has lived with unfaithfulness all around. I think about the statistics of divorce rates in Australia. It's something like 45 to 48% of people are divorced in this nation. And I think it might even be higher in the States. I can't remember exactly the statistic there. But in a time where we've been surrounded by this, I can do what I want, and there's unfaithfulness and we can't really trust, I believe the Lord is wanting to highlight His faithfulness. To know that, hey, when you've missed trust and you've lost trust, that God is faithful, that there is one in whom what He says, He will do, that He does not change, that He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Through the ages, He is the same. And what He says, you can take it to the bank. When He says something over your life, you can go, hey, the Lord said this, I'm going to cash it in. I'm going to cash it in. He's given me a deposit, I'm taking it to the bank. And so tonight, that's what I want to talk about, if that's cool. Yeah. It's one thing to know the faithfulness of God in theory. It's another to know it experientially. And in the scriptures, in Psalm 18, verse 25, there's a great key to the faithfulness of God. It says, to the faithful, you show yourself faithful. It's also found in 2 Samuel 22, verse 26. To the faithful, you show yourself faithful. And as you live according to His ways, there's a key and a principle that as you yield and as you surrender unto God, you are going to see, not if you're going to see, not you might see, you will see His faithfulness. It will be revealed in your life and it will be revealed through you. And some of us, sometimes what we do is we try to line up all our ducks in a row. We go, okay, Lord, if you do this and this and this and this and this and this, then I will follow you. If you do this, 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 then I'll listen to your voice. Then I'll be obedient to your word. I remember when I was in my early days of discipleship, I was like 18 years of age. And I remember, it's like 14 years ago, you can do the math if you want to, but just listen to the word. 14 years ago, and I remember even like looking at my backyard and having some encounters with the Lord in church and being aware of His presence. I remember even thinking, Lord, if you make like a comet just shoot through the sky, then I'll follow you. And I never saw anything. And I was like, that's so stupid. Like, I don't need that because I've got His word. And then the Lord would speak to me through His word. And it was like this, so I was looking for this sign, looking for this. If all this lines up, God, if you do it on my terms, then just maybe then I'll follow you. But I began to see that as you begin to yield to His plans and yield to His promises and actually take Him at His word, you will see His faithfulness through your life. I love in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, there's actually a key in these scriptures. There's an incredible key. We often don't say this part of the scripture. It's the last part of verse 2, but it's there. I'm going to read it for you. You can turn to your Bibles. I don't know if there's... No, there's not. Turn to your Bibles. If you want to, turn them on. But Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 says, therefore, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, for this is your true and proper worship. And we love this verse. We probably all heard this verse. And if you haven't, you're about to. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then we put a full stop there. And we tend to just to go, yeah, that's a great verse. We just got to be, have our minds renewed, and that's awesome. And then we're transformed. We're not conformed. It's really good. But if you keep reading, it says, then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is. Woo! His good, pleasing, and perfect will. I love that because it's the same principle that as we begin to give our bodies, not just have a thought, not just study, not just have head knowledge, but as we begin to give our lives unto God, we'll begin to see, we'll begin to know, be able to test, and not just test, but approve and go, this is the way of life. This is what it's all about. And I can tell you that 14 years into the walk with the Lord, I've been testing and I've been approving and I've been seeing the faithfulness of God time and time again. And I'm here to tell you tonight that if you've lost trust in God, that it's time to awaken your hope again. It's time to awaken your faith. Put your faith in Him because He's faithful to His word. But what I love about faithfulness is that it's not something that you do in your own strength. So when it says to the faithful, you show yourself faithful, we can go, oh, I've just got to be faithful. Just got to work it up in my own strength, my own power, my own might. But actually, do you know faithfulness is His very nature? Faithfulness is a characteristic. It's an attribute. It's what He is. It's who He is. It's a part of who He is. It's found in Him. And so when we actually begin to yield to Him, we begin, faithfulness comes out of our life. It becomes a byproduct of our life as we yield to Him. Galatians 5 talks about the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. And as we abide in the vine, John 15, as we abide in Jesus, as we remain in Jesus, guess what? Faithfulness comes out. Faithfulness is the byproduct. And some of us, we live in fear of success in God or fear of failure in God because we've had our trust misplaced and we haven't really seen or experienced the faithfulness of God. Yeah. I remember for me, I looked around me, I've come from a broken home, Christian parents, but ended up splitting when I was 12 to 15 years of age. And my mom's been married 3 times and I've seen a lot of unfaithfulness in my family. And a fear came over me when I was a young man, oh, maybe that same thing's gonna happen to me. But let me tell you, God breaks fears. His perfect love breaks and casts out all fear. And what I realized is I began to lean into Him and yield to Him and put His word into practice. Those fears, that perfect love began to cast out fear in my life and I became a new man. I put on that Christ nature is living on the inside of me because I'm filled with the Spirit of God. I begin to yield and abide. And as I abided, it's like that's not a fear anymore. God removed it. He got rid of it. And it's gone. Let me tell you what Peter says, that we are partakers in the divine nature. When you get born again, it's not just a golden ticket to heaven. When you get born again, it's just not, oh, I just get to wait. I've got it in my back pocket. I know where I'm going. Sweet, do my own thing. When you get born again, He gives His very self unto you so that you have everything and no excuse to live a life of godliness. He gives you everything. He gives His very Spirit and you become a temple of the Holy Ghost, a temple of the Holy Spirit. And together we become a temple being built up like living stones unto God, by Him, through Him, for Him. And I just want to tell you tonight that if you've had fear of being unfaithful, actually right now, I'm going to encourage you to be bold and to stand up. If you've had fear of success or fear of failure in the things of God, I want you to stand up. Awesome. Abby, you got some work to do. No, we got a whole team. If you are not standing up, I want you just to lay hands on them and bless them. Because it's all about Him. I'm giving you keys to walk this out, but the breakthrough can come in a moment. The breakthrough can come right now. And I believe that the Spirit of God is going to come and refresh people, to renew their mind, renew their perspective, to remind them of the faithfulness of God. He's coming to remind you of His faithfulness. He's coming to remind you that His perfect love is for you and not against you, that you can and will do mighty exploits with Him, in Him, for Him, and by Him. Jesus. More, Lord. Let the fear of failure and the fear of success be broken in Jesus' name. Let every spirit of fear under the sound of my voice go in Jesus' mighty name. This is a holy moment because people are getting their breakthroughs. It's going to set them up for their destiny. All false humility, all tall poppy syndrome in Australia, everyone here that's suffered from being squished down and suppressed, that it's robbed them of their God confidence. Lord, let there be a day of God confidence. Let this be a day of trust and faith rising in their spirit, where they will not back down, they will not shy away, they will not be timid, but they'll be bold and courageous. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. See, faithfulness. You can just stay there, do whatever you want. If you're still praying, continue. If you want to sit down, you're more than welcome. You see, faithfulness is our birthright in God. Actually, all the fruit of the Spirit is. That's the God, that's the divine nature. But it's our birthright in Christ. Faith leads to faithfulness. And your faithfulness reveals His faithfulness. And the more you see His faithfulness, the more you'll be able to say, God's got this. Because God is 100% trustworthy. What He says, He does. What He did, He will continue to do, because He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Why? Because He's faithful. What do you do when God speaks prophetically over your life and there's a tension between the promise being fulfilled and the word being spoken? How do you live out a life of faithfulness unto the Lord when you're in a place of wilderness, when you're in a wilderness season? How do you go, God, I'm going to take You at Your word. I'm going to take You and go, yes, that's for me. How do you walk that out? I want to give you a couple of keys before we see holy chaos break out in this room. Hebrews 11, there's two keys. I want to look at the matriarch and the patriarch of the faith. I want to look at Abraham and Sarah, or Abram and Sarai at the time. Hebrews 11, 11. I remember I kept seeing the numbers 11, 11 everywhere about 2-3 years ago. So I see 11, 11, 11, 11, 11, 11, clocks, bills, everything. And I started to take notes. I said, God, I need a verse for this. So He took me to Hebrews 11, 11. And it says this: by faith, even Sarah herself received ability to conceive even beyond the time of life, since she considered Him faithful, the one who promised. Faithful, who had promised. I'm going to read that again. By faith, even Sarah herself received ability to conceive even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered Him faithful who had promised. Why was she able to conceive? Because she considered Him faithful who had promised. And if we go on the journey, if you look in from Genesis 12 onwards, it's a story, the promises of God to Abram about a whole nation's being blessed and descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. But we see a tension in the time frame of some of those things. Actually, they didn't even see the fullness of that. They will. They are probably looking beyond their forefathers. They're part of the cloud of witnesses. But they didn't see the fullness of that. There was a tension in the time frame. And we even see ups and downs in the tension. We see Sarah took things into her own hands and gave Hagar, the servant, to her husband Abram to have a baby because she couldn't. Not only was she past the age of childbearing, but she was also barren before that. Crazy. But we see the ups and downs of the journey, but how does Hebrews 11, how does the Great Hall of Faith remember her? We get to see a key that even when she laughed when God spoke it, even when she took things into her own hands, even when it appeared to be like all over the place and she looked really rocky, guess what? We see a key in her heart. She still considered him faithful to deliver on the promise. Why? Because he said it. And if he said it, he's going to do it. It's only a matter of time. You see, if you're going through an impossible situation, then you are, that's the prerequisite for a move of God. If you're facing impossibilities, then you know you can't do it on your own. If you're facing impossibilities, then you can only give the credit unto God. I love that God waited till Sarah was 90 years of age until she conceived. I love that. And it was about 25 year period from the word spoken until she was to give birth. To conceive and give birth, 25 years. And I love that there was tension in that. And I love that there was a gap. And I love that it was impossible because only God could do it. There was no hint of natural order. It was like, no, God, I'm gonna just make sure you see that I've been in this the whole way, that it's my plan, it's my design. You can't attribute it just to falling pregnant one day. It has to come by supernatural means so that way that God will get the glory. And so if you're in a place of impossibility, then you are set up for a miracle. You are set up for a move of God. You are set up for breakthrough in Him. And I tell you, Numa Church is set up for breakthrough. Numa Church is set up for a miracle. I prophesy over Numa Church. If you're here hearing my voice, you are set up for an outpouring of the Spirit. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. And I believe tonight we're going to start to see even more. Those waters are going to rise. Jesus. I have written in my notes, side note. Side note. Here we go. I'm going to. Side note, some of us have been putting self-condemnation over ourselves because we feel like we've taken matters into our own hands. You feel like you've been in a season of being unfaithful. But the Lord's saying, no, my faithfulness is great. My faithfulness is for you. Even in your unfaithfulness, even when it appears like you were like Sarah and she took matters into her own hands and it appears that she laughed and she didn't trust, even in that place that God is still faithful. And there's people in this room that need to jump back on the horse of the promises of God and continue to ride because you've been disqualifying yourself for too long. And the Lord's saying, no, I'm the one that qualifies. I'm the one that does it. So if you're feeling like you're in a place of hopelessness, let me speak to you and say, no, there is time for hope. It is a time to get back on the horse. Even in your weakness, even in maybe failures, even in sin, even in seasons of feeling unfaithful, the Lord is still faithful. If it's not over, it's not done yet. He's not finished writing the story. And I love how Hebrews tells of these heroes, the heroes of faith, and focus like they focus on the highlight reel. It's like they just tell the great things that they did because, you know, it's faith. They actually lived by faith. And yes, there was ups and downs, but we get to remember them as heroes of the faith because they considered him faithful to deliver on the promise. Speaking about babies, I think he's going to hate me for this. That's what I was looking at you. No, that's good. Nikki is pregnant, by the way. My wife's pregnant, if you didn't know. And that's super exciting. There's a few pregnant people in the house. Woo-woo! Babies are coming. But it was a 3.5 year journey for us after having our first child. We were getting prophetic word after prophetic word when we were in the States about having kids, even though they say don't prophesy babies. People in the lines of conferences were saying, hey, like, I see you with like more kids. How many do you have kids? Like, how many do you have? And we're like, oh, okay, it's been a challenge. Yes, it's been quite difficult. But I want to say the Lord is faithful. Totally by the intervention of God, He brought a miracle baby into the world. Just at the time that we were about to really find out what was going on. Just at the time we were trying to actually, you know, start to do blood tests and start to do things. That very month, God began to bring in the breakthrough. I say that to say that there's people maybe in this room that have been struggling even to conceive, but this is a time for more children. It's a time for multiplication. So Lord, I pray, I'm not gonna ask anyone to stand up. If that's you, don't have to do that, don't worry. But Lord, I bless the wombs of the mothers in this house. I bless the wombs of the wives in this house. I bless the men in this house, the husbands. God, I bless babies and children. God, I pray, Lord, those that have been trying to conceive and fall pregnant, Lord, let it be so in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray that you'll get all the glory. Lord, Sarah was barren and past her age of bearing, and yet because you'd spoken it, there was life already in the seed. There was life already there. So God, I bless open wombs. I bless the generations. I bless the people, Lord, to multiply. And Lord, I pray that even in the ups and downs, there was times that we cried. There was times that we were of concern. There was times where it was really hard when people were posting on Instagram their children. But let me tell you, the Lord is faithful. And even despite the ups and downs, God is still faithful. If He said it, He will do it. So Lord, I pray that faith would arise in Jesus' name, that impossibilities will be made possible in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. I want to finish on, actually I'm not finishing just yet. Still got more to say. I hope that's okay, guys. Is that cool, Dave? Can I keep going for a little bit, 10 minutes maybe? And then we'll get into ministry. Hebrews 11 verse 19, if you have your Bibles, turn to Hebrews 11. We see another key with Abraham and Sarah. Abraham, as you know the story, if you don't, they actually had the babies, as I mentioned earlier, they had the baby 25 years later. Isaac, the child of promise, the child that God had promised to them. And in this time, that wasn't the end of the story. So what happens is God asks Abraham, after they've had given birth and after they've got the son of the promise, you probably know the story, He asks Abraham to actually sacrifice his son. Thank the Lord, it's Old Testament, and I've only seen it once in the Bible, so hallelujah. Besides Jesus, the Father did it. He was a prototype of what was coming, a type of a foreshadow of Jesus coming. But I'm not saying that's gonna happen tonight. We didn't have to do that. But he actually lived, Abraham lived in incredible obedience unto God. He asked him to climb a hill, a mountain, Mount Moriah, is that right? Is it Mount Moriah? Thank you. Theologian Matt Clayton over here, everybody. Help me out, helping a brother out. He asked him to climb a mountain, and Isaac took with the wood on his back, climbed this mountain, and Abraham was willing to go through with the sacrifice, except God provided a ram in a thicket, and he didn't actually have to do it, but he was just about to. He was just about to go through with it. How does someone rationalize or reason to actually do that? In the tension between the promise and the destination or the destiny, how do you do that? Hebrews 11, 19 gives us a key of how Abraham actually reasoned by faith. Let's have a look. It said, Abraham considered that God is able to raise men even from the dead, from which he also received him back as a type. I imagine the journey with Abraham and God walking up this mountain going, man, what's going to happen? Lord, like, this is the son of promise. Like, what? And there would have been a wrestle, 100%. Any father would have had a wrestle with a commandment like that, with a directive like that. You'd, especially from God, you'd be like, oh, what's the... But here we see that Abraham even was able to reason that God could even bring him back from the dead, even if he went through with it. Let me tell you, there was no prior resurrections to this time. He hadn't seen Christ Jesus raised from the dead yet. He hadn't seen the end of the story yet. He hadn't seen the fulfillment of the promise, but he was able to reason that God is a God, an impossible working God. He moves in impossibilities, that even in the midst of challenges and times where it would be hard to actually go along with the things of God, he was able to reason by faith. And in our world, when we're processing things with God and we're processing the directives of God, we tend to reason by just logic, but just human thinking. And just reason going, oh, if I can rationalize it, if it can fit in my natural law, by natural law, like if it all fits into this nice tidy box. But let me tell you, God is beyond the tidy box. God breaks the tidy boxes wide open. He cracks them open. And we actually have an invitation to live with and reason by faith. So when you're in the process of the promise, how do you reason? How do you think? In the process, do you just see by your natural eyes? Do you just think with your natural mind, with the natural laws? Or are you able to be like Abraham, that I was able to reason that God could even raise him from the dead when there'd been no prior resurrections in his day? How do you get to that place? You see the faithfulness of God in your life. You see the faithfulness of God. You see that Sarah was able to receive the child because of God's faithfulness. And they'd already received the child. He'd already been able to see it. He'd already tasted of the faithfulness of God. He'd already seen that God held up his end of his promise. So he knew that God was able, even if he went through this impossible situation, God was able to do it. How good is God? You know, we're called to live a life of faith. And we often see people making huge sacrifices for God and doing amazing things for God. And we go, oh man, they have such radical faith. You know, there's no term in the Bible that says live by radical faith. There's only faith. We're called to live by faith. And I believe that as the Lord pours out his spirit, that faith is going to rise in the room. And we're going to see a generation of wild ones living totally, totally sold out for Jesus. I'm not just talking young people. When I say generation, I'm talking every generation, a convergence of those that are alive on the earth today, of wild ones that start to take up their cross, that start to do the things that the Lord calls them to. Yes, it was radical, but it was simply attributed to him as faith. I'm going to invite the worship team out if they can come join me in this moment. We're going to see people live by faith. We're going to start to see mighty exploits being done. We're going to start to see people of obedience unto him purely because they've seen and tasted of the faithfulness of God. I want to finish on one. Two more stories real quick. We've got to take hold of the promises of God, guys. We've actually got to take hold of it. When God says something, we need to own it. We need to take hold of it. We don't just become passive and go, God, cool. No, there's a part to play, and our part is faithfulness as we lean into him. I remember one day I was driving up my driveway in Sydney, up a street in Sydney, and I saw a sunset. And I just said under my breath in the car, oh, I can't wait to go to Africa. And I was like, where did that come from? I don't know. But I thought I'd go do something with this. So I said to my senior pastor at the time, I said, hey, I'm driving up a street and out of my mouth came, I can't wait to go to Africa. I don't know what that means, but I'm giving this to you. He goes, oh, that's cool. Maybe we can send you to Africa one day. I'm like, cool. And then fast forward, I don't know the time frame, but fast forward 2 weeks before a flight with another team from the Central Coast, he said, hey, you got your passport ready? I said, nope. He said, well, there's an open door for you to go to Africa. We're going to send you with a team from the Central Coast. We'll pay for everything. You just got to go. Get your passport ready, get it in order and go. And I'm like, cool. This is awesome. And it all unfolds. And next minute I know my feet touch the ground in Africa. I'm like, well, that was so random. Like, that was so amazing. Like, just that little thing of a thought that came to my mind, and next minute there's a wide open door that God had fully opened. And what I love about this time in Africa is that I remember in the preaching, people were just sharing some stories of faith. And as one of the guys was sharing these stories of faith, he walked up to us and he says, it was called a Holy Ghost Explosion Conference I was at. I was just attending some random Holy Ghost Explosion Conference in Kakamega, Kenya. And now I'm just there sitting like a little kid in a candy store. I was going, well, how the heck did I get here? And I remember this pastor comes up to us and he walks in front of us. And as he's preaching, he just says, what God is going to do in you and through you is going to make this Holy Ghost Explosion Conference look small. And I remember I was like, is that for me? Like, I don't know if that's for me, And the pastor next to me goes, did you catch that? He walked straight up to you. And he was talking, that was for you, man. And I was like, okay, cool. So I'm like, what do I do with that? I'm like, I've got to take hold of that. I've got to sow into that. I've got to believe by faith that God is going to wants to do something in me and through me. I have to take hold of that. And so I remember going back and fast forward like a year. I remember having when I was reasoning and thinking through, like, do I have to partner with this word? I remember going, oh, I had this faith all of a sudden for a youth conference. And I'm like, I've got to start a youth conference. I know this is not the fulfillment of it, but I know I'm sowing into it. I know I'm taking hold of the promises of God through my obedience. And I remember thinking back to that youth conference reasoning, oh, I've never done a youth conference before. I don't even know if anyone's going to come. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm like, it was a big step of faith for me. It really was. But I believe the Lord had spoken, so I took hold of it and I went with it. And as I begin to reason by faith, God opened up this conference and it was like 120 young people, which was quite a number for us at the time. And the Holy Spirit blew in those meetings. Kids just weeping under the presence of God, powerful, anointed teaching and preaching and prophetic words and youth pastors gathering and people that are hungry for God. And I remember just going, wow, God, you're faithful. God, you're faithful. God, you're faithful. And we can live a life of obedience to Christ if we take hold of His faithfulness and we experience His faithfulness. I'm going to ask you all to stand. And I know that's not the fulfillment of the word, but it's a step. You know what I'm saying? Abraham didn't see the fulfillment or the fullness of the promises, but it was a step. What I want to do in this place is I want to release faith to believe and take hold of God. Faith to take hold of the righteousness of God. Faith to be obedient that even when it looks impossible, that you would be a person of radical faith. That you would be a person, no, not of radical faith, of faith. Yeah. I cut off the radicalness. Like, it's just got to be faith. Yeah. That you would be a person of faith. Then we might break out into a fire tunnel because my daughter said to. And she doesn't normally say things like that, so. And I don't normally like doing fire tunnels because sometimes we get caught up in the method and we lose sight of God. So I don't want to keep doing that. It's not the way to encounter God, but I do feel grace on it tonight to do something like that. So why don't you all hold out your hands? I just ask for your glory and your presence to come. And I ask God for a gift of faith from your Spirit to not just have faith in God, but have the faith of God to come upon a generation. Holy Spirit, would you blow in this room? Holy Spirit, would you come like a wind and like a mighty rushing wind in this place? Would you carry away fears from your people? Would you carry away timidity from your people? You haven't given us a spirit of fear or timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline, or a sound mind. God, we bless your people. I bless your people. I'm just reminded of about to encounter some incredible prophetic words and an increase of the waters rising in the church over this next coming week, with Larry Sparks coming and so many things happening, Revival Conference and Awakening Australia later in the year. And there's just so many things happening in the Spirit in this season, this hour. And I just want to add to the prophetic words that are about to be spoken, that have already been spoken, from a prophetic word that I got in a book when I went and saw John Arnott. Prophetic word from 1984 from a prophet named Bob Jones in the book From Here to the Nations by Jerry Seingott, or Synod. There's a prophecy, and he said that in 10 years from now, there's going to be a move of God that comes. January 1994, guess what happened? Toronto Blessing starts. So the move of God that comes, it's going to come in three waves, and each wave is going to build upon the last. It's not going to replace it. He said it's going to come in the reverse order to Pentecost. In Pentecost, there was a sound of a mighty rushing wind, tongues of fire, and then what appeared to be drunkenness as the Spirit was poured out. He said it's going to come in the reverse order. He said it's going to be like drunkenness, and it's going to be a wave of fire, and then there's going to be a wave of wind. He said if you miss the first wave, or you were judgmental or critical to the first wave, you'll find it even harder to jump on the second wave and the third wave. And he described the phases of what he saw of the waves. I'm not going to go into all of them, but the second one is where I believe we're at, and I believe I'm supposed to release the prophetic word. Sound the alarm that Australia is about to enter a mighty movement of the Holy Ghost. Australia is about to enter. States about to come under the rivers. Governments about to be influenced by the rivers of God. I see people in high places seeking Christian counsel, godly men and godly women, because of the anointing of God that is displayed in them. He said the wave of fire. He said it's going to be a wave of passion. It's going to be a wave of holiness. It's going to be a wave of signs, wonders, and miracles. And it's going to be a wave of fire. We're about to see the wave of fire hit this nation like never before. So I actually just want to invite you, come down the front. If you want to experience the fire, come down the front. The fire of God is going to burn. The fire of God is going to fall. There'll be people that begin to encounter the fire without any hands laid on. The winds are blowing in this great land. The winds are blowing in this great south land. Asking you to increase your faith. When people pray for people and impart from people, you don't even need the laying on of hands. I've seen impartation happen in whole rooms as people just invite the Holy Spirit. You need to look unto the Lord. You need to look in the eyes of your heart unto Him and say, fill me with your Spirit, God. Fill me with your Spirit, God. Submerge us in your presence. Would you immerse us in the rivers of God? Would you immerse us in the fire of God? Lord, we need your presence. This nation needs your presence. Lord, we can't just play church anymore. We need your holy fire to burn in the church again. We need your holy fire. And I'm not talking about just Numa. I'm talking about the church. Lord, let the religious chains come off the church, God. Let fear come off the church, God. Yeah, just Brett, just begin to play for us, man. Just begin to play. As Brett plays, there's going to be an anointing that comes in the room. As he ministers through the keys, there's going to be an anointing that comes in the room. I believe it's even going to be a fulfillment of promises you've had, Brett.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death, and a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.